He is the Lord of Lords. I'm so glad that it didn't end with the grave, you know? I'm so glad that it didn't end there. If the grave would have never given up Jesus, if God had never called Jesus from the dead to the living, then Jesus would have died just like anyone else. And there would be no salvation. But for the fact that Christ Jesus died on the cross for us, for you and I, that we could once again be restored to right standing with God the Father, and that our sin, though they were many, could be wiped away. And we could be created new. Had Jesus not risen from the dead, his bones would still be in that grave, and our sin would still be, we would be lost. We would be lost. We would still be lost, friends. Praise the Lord. Would you turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. So we had our packed Good Friday service. Wasn't that awesome? It was beautiful. It was great to be together again. This was the first time that we've been back together since last year. It's been a year. Can you believe it? Last year we had to cancel our Good Friday service, and then, but this year we were, by the grace of God, able to have it. Amen. And it was just so good to be back together again, and so exciting. But as we were together on Good Friday, you know, we're celebrating the death of Christ Jesus, the Lord, on the cross. And as you know, he was in rough shape, you know, physically, and he had withstood the cat of nine tails, the whipping, you know, and of the Romans, and that was harsh. Many people didn't even survive the whippings of the Romans. And so I want to get back to, why did all this have to take place? What was the thing that caused Jesus? What was the rub, right? We call it. What was the rub, the thing that Jesus was convicted of? And that was blasphemy. And to the Jews, that was a big thing, claiming that you are God, or right, or something like that. And so Jesus was claiming to be what? The Son of God. And there it is, all right? So Jesus was claiming to be the Son of God, and therein lies the rub, all right? And so unless Jesus is telling the truth, then the Jewish people were right in what they were doing. But Jesus was, in fact, the Son of God. And as Peter gets up, on the day of Pentecost, as we study in the scriptures in Acts, that Peter gets up and with the others, and he addresses the crowd of thousands of people that have been gathered together for Passover. And as we talked last week, that all of Jerusalem was just swelled to overflowing because everyone was back in the city celebrating Passover, right? And so Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, which is what Jesus had told them. Now listen, don't leave Jerusalem until what? You receive the gift my Father promised you. And that gift was the Holy Spirit. They didn't know what that was. They didn't know what it was going to look like or what it was going to sound like. But when they were all together after Jesus had been crucified, and they all went into hiding. They all went into hiding because Jesus was a criminal. Everybody else that was with Jesus, they are criminal too. And they're going to get crucified just like he was. And so they're all into hiding. And so when they were together in that upper room, there was roughly 120 of them. They were praying together and singing the praises of God and, you know, just kind of wondering, what is our next move here? Where do we go from here? You know? And now I remember, you can remember, imagine them all talking together. Well, Jesus told us not to leave Jerusalem until the Father gives us this gift that he's been promising. Well, I don't know what that's going to look like. Do you? No, I don't know. How about you? No, I don't know either. Right? But as they were together worshiping the Lord together up in that upper room, they called it. Do you remember what happened? The sound of rushing wind probably sounded like a train coming, like a tornado, right? And this tongues of fire that came to rest on each and every one of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to read and recollect. So on Friday, we had talked about Jesus being on the cross, being taken to the cross, and being crucified. And he died, gave his last breath. Now remember, Jesus could have called legions of angels, thousands of angels, to come and fight for him, right? But he knew that he had to stay, because unless he gave himself, there would be no salvation for you and I. And so he remained on the cross, and he breathed his last words, "It is finished." The plan of salvation. And Jesus himself, the Bible says, was crucified from the foundations of the earth. When God the Father was together with him in the very beginning, when God was creating the earth and the expanse of space and all that which we know, it says Jesus was crucified. The plan from the very beginning was for Jesus to give himself for you and I. So Jesus has been taken down from the cross and put in a rich man's tomb, and he laid there for 3 days. And that brings us to Matthew chapter 28. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven. And in going to the tomb, he rolled back the stone and he sat on it. Now, these stones are massive. They're massive and they're very, very heavy. And so this angel had come down and he rolled the stone away from the grave where Jesus was laid. And he sat on the stone. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. They were so afraid they passed out. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said." He told you, "On the third day, I will rise again." On the third day, just as he said, he ain't here no more. Don't bother looking. He isn't there no more. He's not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he was, where he was laying. Come and look. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has risen from the dead and going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you, the angel said. Can you imagine being the ones, these two ladies, who are now going to go back to the apostles and tell them, "Hey guys, brothers, Jesus ain't there no more." Are you out of your mind, Mary? Come on. We've all had enough. It's not April Fool's. We know that this it just, come on. Come on, girls. Are you, have you lost it now, really? So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid and yet filled with joy, and they ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. Greetings, he said to them. So they're on their way. Can you imagine them talking between themselves? Now how are we going to tell these guys this? They're not going to believe what we're saying. And on the way, all of a sudden, Jesus greets them. And he says, greetings. They came to him, and they clasped his feet, and they worshiped him. And then Jesus said, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. All right? So this is Jesus, having risen from the dead, is talking now to these ladies. And he's saying, I'm not only going to show myself to you, but I'm going to show myself to the disciples. Tell them to go to Galilee. We're going to meet together there. While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. Now, I would not want to be those guys. We were charged to watch this tomb. Jesus is no longer there. How do you explain that to your boss? When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, this is what you are to say. His disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the day. The very end of the age. Jesus promised that he was never going to leave them. You know, it's Easter brings thoughts of so many different things, you know. The cross, of course, and bunnies and rabbits and baskets and coloring eggs and candy, a new dress, or new shoes, new shirt or a new suit, maybe a drama, or maybe it's the one time in the year you come to church, you know. Gathering of families afterwards for a big dinner or something like that, you know. What is the significance of Easter often gets lost in all of the marketing and all of these things. And we talk about this, you know, around Christmas time too, because the same sort of thing happens. And we forget what the real meaning is. What is the significance? What is its relevance? You know, why is it important to me, or why should it be really important to me? How does it affect me? How does it affect my children? Often, even in Christian circles, Easter is mistaken to mean, the focus will be, and I've seen this happen before, you probably have too, that the focus is on, well, how long were the nails that went into Jesus' hands? You know, how bad was the beating that Jesus took, you know, what was that flogging really like, the whipping? What was that really like? What did he really endure, you know? Sometimes it's more or less a good man that died in a tragic way, you know, and or maybe a gifted teacher who took things a little bit too far and it cost him his life. Sometimes the focus is on the mistrial of Jesus, you know, the mistrial and how this was so wrong and all of these things. Or what about a bunch of power-hungry Jewish priests and leaders trying to protect their positions, right? And really, it's all of these things, but these really shouldn't be the focus. Or what about Jesus, this was a dangerous zealot that needed to be stamped out in his message too. Jesus could have been the victim of a fickle crowd, you know, and how one day they're giving him praise and glory and worshiping him, and the next day they're screaming, crucify him, crucify him. We get caught up in the details. How many Marys went to the tomb? How many Marys were at the foot of the cross? Two or three? Right. One source says that the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ was unique because it was part of God's eternal plan that Christ would die as an innocent sacrificial lamb, as a substitute payment for the sins of men. One thing that has really changed my thinking when it comes to sacrifice and the sacrifice of Jesus, it bothered me that this innocent, beautiful, spotless little lamb, and they're so cute, honestly, they're cute, they're only a year old or so, and they're just so precious and so beautiful and cute, you know, and often they're loved by the youngins in the family, you know, the children in the family. And it just bothered me. Why do they have to be the ones to pay the price, you know? And why do they have to be the ones where the priest would just lean all of his weight on the head of this lamb? And why does that lamb have to be just slit? Why does this? It's gross. It's gruesome. And it's unfortunate. And it's sad. Why does that have to happen? Why, in the innocence of this creature, does its life have to be taken for someone else? And therein lies this secret, the mystery. Christ Jesus was that innocent lamb. Christ Jesus was that perfect, spotless, firstborn lamb. And he became our sacrifice on the cross. And though the priests would have to every year, over and over and over, keep doing these sacrifices, right, for the sins of the people and themselves, mind you, Jesus paid the price on the cross. He bore our sin. He took and carried our sin to the cross once for all. For all of mankind. Friends, that is love. What's the big deal? What is the concern for me? Why is it so important? You know that if there was no resurrection, think about this. If there was no resurrection, Jesus stays in the tomb and he decays. He decays. You remember King David was prophetic in what he was saying when he said that your Holy One should not see decay. If there is no resurrection, the hope of our salvation dies with Jesus. If there is no resurrection, Jesus is not the Son of God. If there is no resurrection, Jesus is not the Messiah. And some still believe that Jesus is not the Messiah. They are still waiting for the Messiah. If there is no resurrection, Jesus is just an ordinary man, just like one of us. If there is no resurrection, Jesus has no power to take away our sins. If there is no resurrection, our sin remains, and our souls are hopelessly lost forever. If there is no resurrection, 400 Old Testament prophecies go unfulfilled, thus making a mockery of the Bible. If there is no resurrection, God's plan of salvation epically fails. God's plan of salvation epically fails. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And listen to this part. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid, listen to this, the Lord has laid on him the iniquity, the sinfulness of us all. God has placed upon him, just like that priest would lean his weight on the head of that innocent lamb. All the weight of humanity's sins that had ever been committed and would ever be committed was laid upon the shoulders of Christ Jesus the Lord. He has laid on him the iniquity of us all. With all of these things, the simplicity of the gospel can get so lost, and we, in our desire to learn and to educate ourselves, and maybe even with prideful intentions, we complicate the gospel of Christ Jesus the Lord, and we make it so much more difficult than it has to be. But if we could boil it down to something so simple, receive Jesus as your Lord. Trust him that what he did on the cross is payment for your sin. Believe that he died on a cross to save you from your sin, and that he rose again on the third day. Would you stand with me today? I think about that scripture that we just read and how hundreds of years prior to Jesus, his crucifixion and his what he would do for mankind was prophesied, but he was pierced for our transgressions. Think about that. He was pierced. The nails pierced his hands and his feet, and the spear pierced his side. He was pierced for our transgressions, for our sins. He was crushed for our iniquities, the fact that he was beaten up, parts of his beard pulled out in fistfuls, punched in the face, hit with sticks. The punishment that brought us peace was placed upon him. The punishment He took up our infirmities. He carried our sin to the cross. And even to this day, some of us are like, ah, you know, I don't know what that does for me. I don't know what I should do in response to that. I've heard all this. It doesn't really change anything. It changes everything. Amen. It changes everything. It changes the fact that we, because of our rejection of Christ, because of our rejection of Him and our disobedience to Him, deserve punishment. All right? The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. And so because of our sin, we are separated from God and deserve punishment, just as if we had broken the law. All right? We're speeding through town. You can't do that. It's against the law. Right? And you'll pay the price for that by getting a ticket. Or if you hurt someone or steal something, you're going to be put in jail because you broke the law. When we break the law of God, we also deserve punishment. But Jesus took upon Himself our punishment for the things that we did against God. We refused to obey Him. We rejected Him. We turned away from Him. We disobeyed Him in so many ways. And though our sins are many, He took them all, the sins that we had ever committed and those that we would ever commit and would ever be committed by anyone in mankind. And He bore them on His shoulders. And He carried them to the cross. And because He was our sacrifice, when He gave Himself on the cross, when He breathed His last, our sins died there on the cross and were crucified to the cross with Christ. But we didn't stay. We didn't stay dead in our sins. Christ rose again. And He sealed ourselves.